This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We are part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available as a podcast. You simply go to the podcast app on your smartphone or tablet and search for DC 37 State of the Union. There are now more ways to stay in touch with us. You can check out our website, www.dc37.net. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you have any comments about our show, would like us to promote a community event, or any other thoughts you might have, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. That's stateoftheunion@dc37.net. On Wednesday, the House Judiciary Committee unanimously passed a bill which would permanently reauthorize the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. Joining us in the studio now to discuss what it means is DC 37 Safety and Health Director Veronica Foley. Welcome back to the show, Veronica.
Thank you.
So this bill has been, so there's a bill to reauthorize the Victim Compensation Fund. There's a little bit of confusion, I think, among the average person about all the various components of legislation pertaining to 9/11 and its aftermath. So why don't we just describe what the fund is about, and then we can talk about the ins and outs of what's been happening over the past few years.
Okay. So the Victims Compensation Fund is, you know, what we're most aware of currently. You know, we're advocating for it to be reauthorized and funded indefinitely or for an extensive period of time, similar to how the World Trade Center Health Program was reauthorized in 2015. So both the health program and the VCF were created under the James Zadroga Act.
What are the distinctions between the two?
Okay. So the World Trade Center Health Program provides medical monitoring and health care, essentially, to people who suffer from a 9/11 certified illness. So the World Trade Center Health Program, which is run by NIOSH, which is the research arm of the Centers for Disease Control, it's a federally run program, they are ongoing doing research on new certifiable diseases and illnesses to add to this list. And people who feel that they are suffering from something that could be connected to their exposure to the downtown area in the aftermath of 9/11 can seek treatment. They can seek an appointment to see if they qualify. If they do, they become enrolled in the program. They may not have an illness yet, but they're monitored. And the moment that something does pop up, they are certified as having a certain illness.
Now, we encourage folks who were downtown on that day and in the days after to pursue this in terms of the medical care or listing or whatever it is that they can get.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So you can call us at Safety and Health because we do a lot of kind of personal help with people because we know we have colleagues and friends in the labor movement who are incredibly well-versed in kind of the nuances of applying and following through this program. But also, for example, I'm on the steering committee for the World Trade Center Health Program, which is a lot of help. Mm-hmm. We work closely with the clinics. We get updates. But the way to do it is, you know, you can go to the website. You can call the hotline directly, and you can set up an appointment. But there's also, to get into the health program, you have to prove that you were in the area, either living, working, going to school. You could have been enrolled in adult or child care for a certain amount of time. And then that kind of, you being able to prove you were down there in that window, either through documents that your employer can provide you, that your school can provide you to kind of say, yes, you know, they were down there during this time, which qualifies them to go get an appointment at a clinic of excellence, which is one of the clinics in the city that works with these people.
Do you know the website?
Yeah. Offhand, no. Okay. But if you Google the World Trade Center Health Program, you'll get in touch. But I do have the number right here, which
go
I can
ahead.
Share.
Absolutely.
That's 888-982-4748.
And as you say, you can also get in touch with the with you at Cynthian Health. How does one reach you?
So you can call me, which is 212-815-1685.
And so that's to get enrolled in the program. Mm-hmm. The Victims Compensation Fund is something else and has come and gone, is my understanding, as I've been reading about this. I didn't realize this, that you know, we're at the whims of legislation by Congress, and Congress has giveth and taketh away since it was first brought to life.
Yeah. Yeah, it was first established in 2011 under the Zadroga Act. The fund was created. There was something before that as well, but I'm not too knowledgeable on how that was structured, but there was some type of VCF coming straight from, I think, the CDC at the time before the Zadroga Act happened. But then that was reauthorized. The VCF was reauthorized for additional funding to keep it going in 2015. And when it was reauthorized in 2015, it was only for another 5 years. So we're coming up to December 2020, which is 5 years from that last reauthorization. You know, what we've been experiencing since then is an incredible increase in claims. The number of people who are now experiencing symptoms has skyrocketed. There's a lot of people who aren't responders. The survivor category of people who have been certified as survivors by the health program, because you need the certification letter from that program to file a claim, that number is going up.
There's a piece in the Chief this week that says that the half of the 9/11 firefighters have lung issues as a result. But we were talking before we began taping about, again, this isn't just about firefighters. And you were giving an example of a woman, I believe, who has approached you. And tell us a little bit about the circumstances to give an example of how far-reaching this is.
Yeah, so I got a call, you know, like we often do in my department, from a member who, you know, maybe they saw a flyer, something about World Trade Center Health Program or the VCF, and they're, you know, they're curious, how did they get involved? And this woman was saying that she suffers from, I forget what her illness was, but I started trying to figure out where was she, what's her work, who was her employer at the time, try to gather the information to get her into these programs. And she was working at a school, Lower Manhattan, not far from the World Trade Center, where, you know, the school had closed. No children were going. I think it was an elementary school. But as a school aide, DC 37 member, that's Local 372, she stayed at the school in order to kind of keep it open and running so that first responders or anybody who was, I mean, it was a lot of people who were going to the scene.
There were a number of buildings being used for emergency, including DC 37's headquarters.
Yeah.
So she was working every day within the vicinity of Ground Zero.
To help the efforts, essentially, as a school aide. And, I shared with her some information for the health program and the VCF. But like you said, with the firefighters and their lung diseases, normally people have more than one cancer. I mean, cancer tends to be at least one of their certifiable illnesses. This is not like they have one illness that's really taken them down. It could be upwards of 4 to 5. We're also talking about PTSD, mental illnesses in general. It's pretty awful. And I think part of the reason why the VCF is feeling the strain now, right at the time it needs to be reauthorized, is a lot of these diseases have long latency periods. So things that were airborne that are affecting your lungs, like mesothelioma, that has a latency period, doesn't pop up for like 15 years. You know, a lot of this stuff is only now going to start really affecting people.
We're talking with DC 37 Safety and Health Director Veronica Foley. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is the State of the Union. We're back. This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. We're talking with DC 37 Safety and Health Director Veronica Foley. We were talking about, during the break, we were talking about the paid sick leave that we have negotiated with the city. Do more justice to the description than what I've just done.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's an incredible benefit that allows people who work for the city employees, to take time off that they're compensated for. We've had an experience where there are a lot of people with certified 9/11 illnesses who are very ill. It could be cancer. It could be numerous cancers. It could be a lot of different diseases together, who need time off. And they have exhausted their sick leave time, any saved vacation time. We've had members who have needed to retire early and in turn receive a reduced pension because of that need. So this is really a benefit to try to capture those people before they're in an uncomfortable position. You know,
this is a product of legislation passed by the city council? No.
It's an agreement.
Okay.
Yeah, is it legislation? So far, it's an agreement between the mayor's office and different unions. So DC 37 has signed on. I think there's maybe up to 10 other unions in the city who have also signed on. So there is a state law that covers state employees related to this. But New York City decided to negotiate it instead of, you know, do something similar to legislation at the state level for city employees.
Well, we've, you know, part of what has been part of the agony of this has been the politics of this in terms of with the VCF trying to get the renewal. We're going to play in a little while at the end of this segment John Stewart's testimony before Congress about this. He lost his cool because there was hardly anyone in the room, apparently, when all the responders showed up to talk about renewing the VCF. But what I find fascinating about this is that even the House Judiciary Committee unanimously passed the bill. The bill has to go to the Senate, and that means Mitch McConnell has got to weigh in and say, we want to do this. Mm-hmm. And that is, while we're optimistic about it, we're still at the mercy of political winds.
Right.
And that's always a problem.
Yeah, I think this is a good time to call your senator. And I think, you know, what has happened over the past few years as we've been approaching this, the need for a reauthorization, is it's no longer a New York problem. You know, for a long time, the narrative was, you know, this is a problem just in New York City. But it's not. You know, people are sick. Every state has somebody in the World Trade Center health program. People have dispersed. They've left the city. They may have flown in from Wisconsin to help out. You know, there are people all over the country that are suffering for what they did during that time.
Well, we forget, because a lot of time has passed,
right,
how much of a reaction there was,
yeah,
how much of an outpouring there was of public service folks wanting to help mm-hmm. rebuild New York and to help with the attack.
Yeah.
We are going to play the John Stewart tape. This is a, you know, this is an incredible piece. It's 8 minutes long. Most folks have heard a minute of it, but John Stewart's testimony really shows what the power of a celebrity who has credibility, who has been committed to an issue, and this is something that we wanted everyone to hear. So, Veronica Foley, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And you will be back, and here is John Stewart.
I want to thank Mr. Collins and Mr. Naylor for putting this together, but as I sit here today, I can't help but think what an incredible metaphor this room is for the entire process that getting health care and benefits for 9/11 first responders has come to. Behind me, a filled room of 9/11 first responders, and in front of me, a nearly empty Congress. Sick and dying, they brought themselves down here to speak to no one. It's shameful. It's an embarrassment to the country, and it is a stain on this institution. And you should be ashamed of yourselves for those that aren't here, but you won't be. Because accountability doesn't appear to be something that occurs in this chamber. We don't want to be here. Lou doesn't want to be here. None of these people want to be here. But they are, and they're not here for themselves. They're here to continue fighting for what's right. Lou's going to go back for his 69th chemo. The great Ray Pfeiffer would come down here, his body riddled with cancer and pain, where he couldn't walk. And the disrespect shown to him and to the other lobbyists on this bill is utterly unacceptable. You know, I used to get, I would be so angry at the latest injustice that's done to these men and women. And, you know, another business card thrown our way as a way of shooing us away, like children trick-or-treating, rather than the heroes that they are and will always be. Ray would say, calm down, Johnny, calm down. I got all the cards I need. And he would tap his pocket. Where he kept the prayer cards, 343 firefighters. The official FDNY response time to 9/11 was 5 seconds. 5 seconds. That's how long it took for FDNY, for NYPD, for Port Authority, for EMS to respond to an urgent need from the public. 5 seconds. Hundreds died in an instant. Thousands more poured in to continue to fight for their brothers and sisters. The breathing problem started almost immediately, and they were told they weren't sick, they were crazy. And then, as the illnesses got worse and things became more apparent, well, okay, you're sick, but it's not from the pile. And then when the science became irrefutable, okay, it's the pile. But this is a New York issue. I don't know if we have the money. And I'm sorry if I sound angry and undiplomatic, but I'm angry, and you should be too, and they're all angry as well, and they have every justification to be that way. There is not a person here, there is not an empty chair on that stage that didn't tweet out, never forget the heroes of 9/11. Never forget their bravery. Never forget what they did, what they gave to this country. Well, here they are. And where are they? And it would be one thing if their callous indifference and rank hypocrisy were benign, but it's not. Your indifference cost these men and women their most valuable commodity, time. It's the one thing they're running out of. This should be flipped. This hearing should be flipped. These men and women should be up on that stage, and Congress should be down here answering their questions as to why this is so damn hard and takes so damn long, and why no matter what they get, something's always pulled back and they got to come back. Mr. Johnson, you made a point earlier, and it was one that we have heard over and over again in these halls, and I couldn't help but to answer to it, which was, you said, look, you know, you guys are obviously heroes and 9/11 was a big deal, but, you know, we have a lot of stuff here to do, and you know, we got to make sure there's money for a variety of disasters, hurricanes and tornadoes. But this wasn't a hurricane, and this wasn't a tornado. And by the way, that's your job anyway. We can't fund these programs; you can. Setting aside that no American in this country should face financial ruin because of a health issue, certainly 9/11 first responders shouldn't have to decide whether to live or to have a place to live. And the idea that you can only give them 5 more years of the VCF because you're not quite sure what's going to happen 5 years from now, well, I can tell you, I'm pretty sure what's going to happen 5 years from now. More of these men and women are going to get sick, and they are going to die. And I am awfully tired of hearing that it's a 9/11 New York issue. Al-Qaeda didn't shout death to Tribeca. They attacked America and these men and women, and their response to it is what brought our country back. It's what gave a reeling nation a solid foundation to stand back upon, to remind us of why this country is great, of why this country is worth fighting for. And you are ignoring them. And you can end it tomorrow. Why this bill isn't unanimous consent and a standalone issue is beyond my comprehension. And I have yet to hear a reasonable explanation for why. It'll get stuck in some transportation bill or some appropriations bill and get sent over to the Senate, where a certain someone from the Senate will use it as a political football to get themselves maybe another new import tax on petroleum, because that's what happened to us in 2015. And we won't allow it to happen again. Thank God for people like John Feel. Thank God for people like Ray Pfeiffer. Thank God for all of these people who will not let it happen. They responded in 5 seconds. They did their jobs. Courage, grace, tenacity, humility. 18 years later, do yours.
Remarkable testimony by John Stewart in front of the House Judiciary Committee earlier last week, resulting in a unanimous passage by the House Judiciary Committee. The VCF extension now goes to the Senate. We're going to shift gears now because this has been a week of the city council and the mayor and negotiating a budget. In Albany, there's stuff going on that is important. And I want to talk a little bit about the fact that we are supporting the patient protection legislation. Individuals with health coverage should feel protected from the possibility of experiencing financial ruin because of an emergency hospital visit. However, today that is far from the truth for a patient who, for example, enters a hospital or emergency room to treat burns from a spilled cup of coffee and is then stunned by a surprise emergency hospital bill upwards of $184,000 for out-of-network charges. For a patient whose health insurance policy requires them to pay 10% of the total cost, this could mean taking on $18,400 in debt. Without implementing what is called the independent dispute resolution process on surprise hospital bill for out-of-network emergency care services, there will continue to be no formal process to control for the cost of such hospital services, including, but not limited to, patient processing, IV fluids, and blood transfusions, all billed when a patient is least able to review or object. In 2014, New York State took the lead by becoming the first state to implement an IDR process to put an end to the surprise emergency billing by out-of-network physicians. Since then, a Yale University study found that the New York law resulted in a substantial drop in out-of-network billing for emergency doctor services, even as the billing remained steady in neighboring states without a similar protection. It's only reasonable for New York State to take the lead once again and put an end to surprise hospital bills for out-of-network emergency care charges. New York families should not be gouged by hospitals when they are most vulnerable in an emergency situation, and New York businesses and labor organizations should not be subject to tough employment decisions due to rising health care costs that we can curtail. We urge you to support this legislation to put an end to surprise hospital emergency bills. This is S317A and A264B. I love the numbers put on with this. But it's the patient protection legislation. Call your state senator and tell your state senator that you support patient protection legislation. That's all about all the time we've got for this show. Just one announcement. If you're having trouble erasing your federal student debt, get help by attending a workshop on Tuesday, June 18th at 5:30 p.m. at Union Headquarters. To register, go to www.dc37.net/student-debt. I want to thank Veronica Foley for talking about VCF with us this evening. If you have any comments about this show or any of our shows, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. We appreciate your feedback. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The sound engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I am Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.